Blog Talk Radio.
Alright, everybody, it's Monday night. That means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I am your host, Ron Golden. We are brought to you, of course, by Patriot Families. Glad everybody can be with us tonight. And Mikey, Higher Truth Radio, glad to see you here. I know Miss Linda is having a bit of trouble getting into the chat room. We've got Mr. Bill Strong, Miss Yola, and probably Mr. Nick might have a few other tag-alongs out there with Mr. Strong and his family. Always glad to see everybody here on a Monday. Really wanted to play that song tonight. That is one of my favorite songs for many, many reasons. Had a pretty good weekend. Really had a lot going on. Made a couple of, made a long drive Sunday with the wife. and just had some good things occur. Of course, there's always bad things that happen in life. And why dwell on the bad things when I can talk about them here on the radio? And speaking of bad things, you know, it was, a week or so ago, might have been last week on my show, where I had talked about an oil tanker from North Korea being hit by rocket fire in the Gulf over by Libya. And, you know, it seems that there's this civil war occurring in Libya. I mean, just look at the stability and democracy that we have brought to the Libyan people over there by using NATO forces to bombard their military and have a regime change. And so now we have all this democracy and stability, and you know, which results in a North Korean ship coming into a port that is controlled by rebels, Al-Qaeda, God only knows who is in control of this port, but they were, you know, they were doing bad things, guys. They were selling government-owned oil without permission. And so, you know, as the ship tried to flee the area, it got shot by a rocket and was on fire, last we heard. And then, lo and behold, today, wouldn't you know, there is a report out of Cyprus, of all places. Now, if you look at a map of Libya and Cyprus, you understand that it's Cyprus is all the way in the nook of the Mediterranean Sea and quite a long ways from the port where this ship was filled up with fuel. Now, or oil, crude oil, excuse me. And allegedly, this was a North Korean ship. So, of course, immediately we believe that North Korea is pirating oil, right, from the regime in Libya. But come to find out, according to this report, after U.S. Navy SEALs take over control of this oil tanker off the coast of Cyprus, we find that three individuals were briefly detained. Two of them were Israelis. It just gets curiouser. But, of course, they were let go. They flew in on a private jet and took a boat out, evidently, to the oil tanker to negotiate a purchase. So this is being played off as some kind of a pirate overtaking of this North Korean vessel. So I'm sure the North Koreans will be relieved that we have helped secure one of their vessels, and we have stood up with our military against all the boogeymen over there in Libya to protect the Libyan government. And, you know, that's just got to tug at your heartstrings. It makes me want to get out the flag and really wave it. Miss Linda, how are you? We have Miss Linda on the line with us. I know she's been having trouble getting into the studio,
pretty chat much room. Frustrated because, yeah, it's I don't know. It's remember the days when you had AOL dial-up? Well, that's what I'm looking at on my screen. It's ridiculous. It's really bad. Well, that was one of the subjects because I had heard something on the weekend. You know, this is what we were talking about earlier in the Skype chat that, I mean, I'm not kidding. When I turned on Fox News this weekend, I was so sickening. The whole thing, these chatterheads spent hours, and I mean, they just blanketed their whole programming schedule for the whole weekend on this nonsense and all these bobbleheads and these theories, and nobody knows what's happening until they find whatever. I mean, it's ridiculous. And this is a distraction. It's a distraction.
Oh, my God. It's an enormous distraction.
Yes, they want you glued to this nonsense while Schmuckface is taking your internet rights and throwing them over to Russia and China or whomever. I mean,
well, I don't know if he's going to be giving them away to Russia and China, but you know, there are some interesting developments in the news. You know, news that actually would have a negative impact on us. Anybody heard of the pig poopy disease that's bothering all the piggies No? Nobody's heard about
that? No, haven't heard
that one. Evidently, there is a big problem with a new virus that is affecting pigs. And
lovely.
Evidently, they think that, you know, approximately Smithfield Foods, China, the largest pork producer in the world, China, U.S. company, but now China owns it. They reported that they think fully 10% of all female sows in the United States are infected with the virus.
Oh, great.
And it has an 80 to 100% fatality rate for newborn piglets. So that's creating, or they surmise is going to create, a shortage of pork and pork products and drive the prices up while we're in the midst of the smallest cattle herd that we have seen in the United States since 1951. So we have our beef supply in the U.S. is now at a level that hasn't been seen since the 50s. And, of course, we have 2.5 times the population. We have 2.5 times the population today that we did in 1951. Now we see this other issue with the pork. It could be very detrimental. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we have some other little tidbits that are unfolding. And, you know, I thought it was kind of comical. I was reading an article. How could you not predict that this would happen, right? Regarding the proposed sanctions against the Russians. And you remember the one guy, Russian dude, whoever he was, not important what his name is, said that, you know, any sanctions would have a boomerang effect on the Americans. And wouldn't you know, you know, Putin, I guess, released his own list of dastardlies that he's going to put sanctions on here in the U.S., several senators, as if the senators give a damn. They get all their money from multinational corporations and not from Russia. But one thing that I did find interesting is one of the Russian officials who evidently was speaking out of turn said that, well, you know, those sanctions just simply mean that we will have to use other currencies to secure our trade business.
Oh, boy.
And he said, you know, and golly gee whiz, gosh, you know, if the U.S. does seize our assets in U.S. dollars and U.S. held banking systems, he said that simply means that we will not be able to repay those loans that we've been given by the U.S. banking institutions. So, gosh, you know, if you seize our U.S. dollars, we can't pay you back in U.S. dollars. Sorry, we'll just have to default on those loans.
Yeah, it's just it's amazing how this progressive plan is coming together from all angles, isn't it? I mean, geez, oh my God, they got screwed up. Oh my God,
and this is to be expected. Now, if you look at the global market, okay, and I've been hearing, well over a year. You know, you get those stupid emails. Hey, China, it's over. And China certainly does have its problems, believe me. I mean, if you can imagine, if you look at the Chinese economy, and I don't follow it terribly closely, but, you know, from what we're told, the Chinese economy in 10 years, they have basically gone from, you know, the old school communist model to replicating the entire U.S. banking system in size in 10 years.
Wow.
So you want to talk about a stimulus program. You know, the old Uncle Fed and Uncle Ben there, they got nothing on the Chinese. And wouldn't you know, I was watching a great documentary film about the Chinese economy and economics over in China. And wouldn't you know that one of the mentors to the Chinese is a former Treasury guy named Hank Paulson. Evidently, he was a very much a Confucius master, but now they see him as Confucius say, idiot.
Wow.
And when he was sounding the alarm, okay, when Paulson was running around sounding the alarm, and he was telling the Chinese that, you know, this thing, just like they were talking about, you know, martial law in Congress and $700 billion bailout package needed, well, we just wanted to come up with a really big number. He was also confiding to the Chinese that this threat was systemic and it was huge and that it threatened the entire global economy. So the Chinese, they did some very interesting things. They started to pare back on their treasury purchases, and they began throwing a lot of their fictitious paper money into converting it into gold. And we know that over the last several years, they have been amassing quite a bit of gold.
Yep.
And so now, you know, we're hearing all about Chinese defaults. You know, I posted a couple of articles over on the Patriot Family's website some time ago about a couple of particular funds that were going to default and that consequently they have defaulted. But there's a whole shadow banking sector in China's system. Not that there isn't one here.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on monetarily. And I just don't think that it's getting much airtime.
Right. Just, oh, my gosh. Well, they've
you know,
got, I'm not
they
kidding.
Talk about airplanes and all kinds of other stupid crap.
This thing on Fox News, it went from Friday all the way through Sunday night, probably midnight or later. I mean, and then once they had the Janine, whatever, two-hour special, they just ran it again another 2 hours. So it went.
Did they bring in? Did they bring in? Did they bring in Agatha Christie?
Well, they didn't bring any commercials in. I'll tell you, the whole day. I mean, it was unbelievable.
See, this is why I don't watch any of that junk. I just really don't. I can get a summary of the entire week's worth of news in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So I had to go to other things like Lifetime with, you know, with the Crazy Things or the Criminal Minds or something like that, or some cop show. I mean, it's great. And I'm reading I finished my one book of Behind the Green Mask, which we'll go through on my show. And I just started David Horowitz's The Black Book of the American Left. Boy, he's good. It's going to take me a while to get through this, but it's going to reveal a lot of stuff. He's doing in-depth things on people like Noam Chomsky, and, you know, because that's where David came from. He was born into it, and then he was very enamored with it after a while and got rid of it. So interesting stuff. So I'll have a lot of crazy nonsense to talk about on my show. But at least we go into what's actually happening to us from local, state, and federal. I mean, these guys, I'm done with Fox News. It's like, there's going to come a day where I'm going to cut the cable. I'm getting the rabbit.
I'm telling you, the only reason the only thing I watch on television, I used to watch a lot of History Channel, but unfortunately they really don't play much history on there anymore.
Yeah.
All they have is these stupid reality shows, and I could care less about, you know, some pawn shop or, you know, a bunch of guys acting like they're pulling up logs out of a swamp or whatever else they've got going on, you know, naked and stranded on an island or whatever the hell else they play. You know, so I watch a couple of shows on the Food Network. I like Guy Fieri, the crazy Californian with the wild hair, his diners, drive-ins, and dives.
Yeah,
love that
show. Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, because it
always
makes you
hungry.
I can't watch it when I'm on my diet, but I love that show. Oh, my God.
And he's
such
a personality, you know. I mean, he's
so
obviously,
cool.
He's from California. He grew up a hippie. The guy's a screaming liberal, but hey, whatever. He's good entertainment.
He knows
that's
good
what
food.
I really watch television for. And I have to admit, you know, and I've openly admitted, I do watch The Walking Dead. I just can't get enough of the zombies. I don't see enough of them 24/7
that's
in real
funny.
Life.
That's too
so
funny.
I have to watch them on television also. But truly, aside from that, and I will occasionally watch the crazy Greek dude with the wild hair on the Ancient Aliens. I love it. The guy is hilarious.
Oh, okay.
He's just got this crazy hair.
There's the one that the only ones I really care about is watching the youngsters try to compete against each other. Some of them actually have talent, you know, like the singers and the Dancing with the Stars and the, you know, the So You Think You Can Dance kids. But we're right in the middle of Idol right now, so I just watch them. So, and then during commercials, which there are many, I can completely peruse through my books because that's where I'm going to get the most knowledge on anything. I mean, I've just got to keep going and keep reading and keep reiterating and taking notes, and because I'm trying to, there's some meetings coming up in April, and this is all this visioning nonsense and many Delphi'd meetings we're going to be going to, and I've got to have a flyer. I'm trying to put together a flyer to hand out to people to explain what's happening to their city, because it's crazy. That keeps me up at night sometimes, and I you know, it's really tough to deal with the local.
I know that I know a lot of people right now are hurting. I know a lot of folks are hurting for money. You know, folks that normally, you know, everything was hunky-dory, but right now I'm seeing it a lot with my customers, and I'm hearing it a lot from others. My landscape guy has been just, you know, really laying a guilt trip on me to pay him ahead of time for an entire year. And I'm like, I don't know if I can really swing that right now because, you know, we're kind of, our purse strings are kind of tight as well. And I'm seeing a trend. Don't know how long it's going to continue, but it's interesting to me. I think we're going to see silver push quite a bit lower. I don't know if we'll see gold push a whole lot lower, although it was down $14.50 an ounce today. So I don't know. We may, you know, with what's going on over the monetary situation, and believe me, make no mistake, there's a currency war going on right now, and people just aren't paying attention to it. Nobody's talking about
it. There was a huge article on The Blaze today about the entire state of California, and I had predicted this 3 or 4 years ago at one of my first city council meetings because of Agenda 21 and what they're doing. And I didn't even see the full scope with the unfunded liabilities and the CalPERS and the huge current salaries of some of these city employees. It's staggering, the amount of money that's thrown around in California, and it's not going to sustain itself. And this article in The Blaze was that they're going to turn the entire state of California into Detroit, and I had predicted that quite some time ago. People are not going to stand for this. The only people left will be, people in Rancho Santa Fe, the people in La Jolla, you know, Mitt Romney's 12,000-square-foot fabulous home up there on the hill. And then they'll have some servants, and God knows where they're going to put them because no one can afford to even live here. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is going to tank. It's going to look like those parts in Detroit. I'm telling you, people don't listen.
Well, and I just wonder, it just seems to me, and I know that others, you know, don't believe that anything is going to come of this, and it may not, but I look at what's going on in China. I look at what's going on, you know, and what did I say? Go back to my show a week ago. Go back to my show 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the Crimea and the Ukraine and what's going on. And what did I say was going to happen? There was going to be a lot of bluster and a lot of talk, and they were going to offer up some economic sanctions, right? And Russia was going to counter with some of their own, and we're seeing the beginnings of that. And I think what you're seeing right now is really just laying the groundwork for what's to come later. And the timing of it is what really intrigues me. Because if you wanted to let China off the hook for their enormous debt, the bubble that they've blown up, and of course the U.S., everybody knows, we've already created a global debt bubble for just about everybody else. So what better way to pop the bubble and just deflate the whole doggone thing and say, oh, we need a reset. Rather than, you know, we don't want to go to war. We need to avoid war. So we're going to do this with international law and come up with some big new agreement. I mean, who knows? I don't know. But it just sure looks suspect to me. The timing of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because there's these people, I'm sure that they know, and they're it's like they're all in on this thing, you know, because.
Well, of course they know. Of course they know, and you know, I have no doubt. I have no doubt whatsoever. This year, what last 2 weeks. It's the first time we've seen an actual budget on paper from the government since Obama took office. Now, let's think about that for a moment, because I've talked about it before. We had this financial crisis right at the election time. We were still in the midst of a financial crisis in the 2008 election cycle. So one of the first things that Obama does is go to a G20 summit, right?
Right.
And the bankers knew way back then, we're really right up against it here, guys. This is big trouble. So if the lead central banks in the world are telling you, the newly elected president, that, look, it's inevitable there's going to be a monetary collapse. So there's two ways that we can handle this. One, we can just let it collapse. We can just continue on and it'll just disintegrate and there's going to be a lot of turmoil and it's going to be ugly. The other thing we could do is start planning now for the inevitable future and come up with a plan to rescue this whole mess. And in doing so, there's going to have to be a lot of debt forgiveness, and it's going to have to be equal by everyone. And the only way we can see that being acceptable to 90% of the parties or 80% of the parties involved is they're going to have to be so badly destroyed economically that they're pretty much willing to agree to anything. So if I'm the president and I've just sat in on this meeting and I come back and take my presidential office, am I really concerned about a budget? No. Why would I be? Because I know that somewhere in the very near future, probably during my term or second term if I get reelected, but I'm not really terribly concerned about it. I know at some point in the future that this is going to happen, and when it does, all that debt's going to be written off.
Right.
Why would you bother with a budget? I mean, why would you even bother with the appearance of trying to spend within any kind of constraints or limits? And I don't know that everybody's privy to that information, which would explain why you have a lot of junior
senators
and Congress people screaming bloody murder, wanting cuts, wanting responsibility in government. Let's pull back the spending even a little bit. Let's see if we can't get this under control, and they're just being given the middle finger because the old hands, the old hats, they know the deal.
They know the score, exactly. And that's why they don't like the Mitch McConnells and the McShanes and the rest of them. They don't want these people, and that's why they did so much to keep Ron Paul away. Anybody that's going to take over their power and their secrets, forget about it. That's what's going on. So,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And we have... We have with us on the phone now from the great Republic of Texas, our very own Mikey B from the Higher Truth Radio. Mr. Mike, how are you, sir?
Well, I tell you, Ron, my voice sounds terrible because I woke up Saturday cold. Well, that's what I get for... I worked a long 12-hour day Friday, and my little honey came over, and bada beep, bada bop, bitty boop. I went to bed naked, been, I must have been chilling while I'm lost my voice today. But I feel great otherwise, and thank you for that introduction. Now, what's really staring me in the face, why this whole thing is going to crap out, regardless of all the games being played, is that the highest unemployment rate in, demographically in the country, color, gender, notwithstanding, is between the ages of 18 and 26 years old. That should be staring everybody in the face. Whether you follow politics or not, whether you're religious or not, that figure alone has got to stare you in the face. Because that's the beginning of the domino effect. These are, and I've said this ad nauseum, these are our future supposed homeowners, business owners, pro creators, you name it. They don't have a job. They don't have money. They're not buying squat, and they're not procreating, although, yes, there are the certain 51% of the country that doesn't give a damn and will live off the shrinking 49%, so they'll shoot them out as far as they can. And when that teat runs dry, well, good luck for you. So that's the figure that stares me in the face.
And it's, I'm glad you brought up the future and our young people, and in particular, home ownership. Because, you know, it seems that the IMF is pretty concerned with the way things are going globally today. And what the IMF has determined is that income inequality globally now, not just in the U.S., but global income inequality is pretty much making the idea of middle class extinct globally. But not to worry, not to fear, says the IMF, because there are ways, we have ways of making you work. There are ways with which we can bring back the middle class. And one of the ways we can do that, believe it or not, is by taxing the ever-living crap out of what remains of the middle class. And one of the things they can do is, quote, some taxes levied on wealth, especially on immovable property, are also an option for economies seeking more progressive taxation. So if you own a home or if you're thinking of buying a home, your taxes might be going up on that property. Because, you know, after all, as the IMF has said, one of the ways in which we can grow the middle class is to redistribute wealth globally to disadvantaged countries. And we can take much of the wealth from large prosperous countries like the United States, and redistribute that globally.
Okay, but you and I know that that's not going to work. I mean, we know that. I mean, this is all just BS that the ordinary...
Well, what do you mean it won't work, Mike? It absolutely will work. Didn't you know that if they just raise taxes, then we can send more money to the poor, disadvantaged people in third world countries? You know, obviously our poor, they're doing pretty well, so they don't need any more help. So we need to focus on other countries, and they're poor. And I think, you know, taxation rates of 60% and 70%, according to the IMF, would be ideal. And then, of course, increasing property taxes on those people who have property that, well, let's face it, you can't pack up your property and move, can you?
No, but you and I know we know that's not going to cut it. So we know that the inevitability of all this crashing down is going to happen. And I can't give up time. I'm not going to do that. But I think it's fair to say sometime between now and, 20, 25 years maybe?
Oh, my goodness. If I thought for a moment that this whole disastrous mess that we've created for ourselves would last until 2025, I'd be somewhat depressed. I think the sooner, and you and I have talked about this, I think the sooner this whole mess, this whole charade falls in on itself, the better.
I agree, but the Illuminati still wants to drag it out, though, because they're still making their fortunes.
I'm still just dumbfounded at the fact that this whole thing has gone on as long as it is.
Well, why, Ron, when you can just go down in the basement and print out more money, why
right.
shop? I mean,
but,
they can still
but,
do
I mean,
this. However, we have countries like Ukraine that are 2 billion, with a B, behind their bill to some oil company that they get service. They're $2 billion behind. And, you know, what's going to happen is that company is going to fold eventually, or you know, they're going to try to turn off Ukraine's oil. Good luck. Or Ukraine is going to nationalize it and take it. So you can't keep this crap going, but there's going to be blood on the table. Because you're just going to have governments just taking and taking and taking. That's just what you're going to have.
Well, you know, I wanted to read something here. It's one of our all, I know everyone here just thinks very highly of this gentleman, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina.
Oh, the same-sex senator, yes.
Yeah, a top critic of President Obama's foreign policy, whatever the heck that is, asked what the administration would do if Russian forces advance farther into the eastern area of Ukraine, and the new government in Kiev asks the U.S. for weapons to fight the Russians. Kerry responded, that would be our John the draft dodger, Kerry. He didn't dodge the draft. He got the Purple Heart for spraining an ankle in a swift boat, wasn't it? Anyway.
And then he threw it over the wall. Yeah.
Kerry responded carefully by saying, and you got to love this, quote, "We have contingencies. We are talking through various options that may or may not be available. Our hope is to create is, oh, that would have been more realistic. Sorry. Our hope is not to create hysteria or excessive concern about that at this point in time." He said, quote, "Our hope is to avoid that, but there is no telling that we can." It goes on to say it's quite obvious, based on Kerry's statement, that the Obama administration really has no idea what to do, as they are still talking through, quote, various options, something that probably should have been worked out well before President Obama began slinging rhetoric over the crisis. What the Obama administration assumes will happen is that they will force Russia into compliance by coming after their economy. Obama will hit the late-night TV circuit to tout his success. We'll all laugh about it and then go on our merry way. Putin will be left embarrassed and laying in the fetal position sucking his thumb. At least that's the plan. However, two can play at that game, and China, which has stood by Russia's show of force in Europe since the get-go, has now upped the ante. It's a brilliant move designed, once again, to show the world that President Obama and the United States are no longer running the show. Quote, "Sanctions could lead to retaliatory action, and that would trigger a spiral with unforeseeable consequences," warns China's envoy to Germany, adding that, quote, "We don't see any point in sanctions." They're, make no mistake about it, they are threatening exactly what I've been talking about on my show for months now. They have everything in place. They have agreements signed with Europe. The European Union is backing off of the economic sanction rhetoric. So is Great Britain, because those countries realize that their economic viability really is resting in the balance, I think, with this whole crisis, or at least there's the potential for that. I don't see this going well unless, of course, you ascribe to the idea, and it's certainly possible, that this is all purely contrived to create exactly this theater and the appearance in order to bring about the inevitable reset that I was just talking about earlier. So there's a couple of different ways that you can look at the current situation. Either it's completely 100% contrived and orchestrated, or it really is, you know, a tug of war for who's going to be top dog. Either way, it's not good.
No,
the average Joe in the U.S. of A, or anywhere else for that matter.
Well, here's my take on that. First of all, has the Ukraine officially asked us to get militarily involved?
I don't know that they have. Just
right.
Point blank and called.
Heard, I haven't
if they
heard
have,
anything.
Do you think that the Obama administration would announce that? I would say probably not. Now,
well,
the Ukrainians might
well,
announce
what I'm
that.
Well,
is that going to be reported in the U.S.? Maybe not.
But here's my point, is that Washington, D.C. and its Anglo partner have no business. There's no involvement here. First of all, if the Ukrainian people want to get suckered and believing that this revolution is legit, they vest themselves, number one. Number two, you know, there's about Crimea. Look, if they want to break away from the Ukraine and if they want to join Russia, that's their business. Who the hell is Obama or anybody else to say that the Crimean referendum is unconstitutional? Who is this country that they think is unconstitutional when they're not even following their own constitution? If you want to look at
it
that way.
You know, I would absolutely agree
Russian,
with
Ron,
that.
There's 60% Russian, the Crimeans. Now, I think in a perfect world, Crimea should have voted to be completely independent, and they can choose their own allies. But
well,
they
but
chose
see,
to go back see, to Russia.
Right, but you see...
They were part of Russia before Khrushchev in 1954 handed them over, and they had no voice. Well, today they have
see,
a voice.
They voted themselves out. Of the old Soviet regime, you know, after the collapse and everything, they won their independence. Didn't you know they had a Declaration of Independence and a constitution over there? Now, if
well,
their constitution
wait, 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 wait,
says,
wait, are
says
you
they
talking
can't
about
secede,
Ukraine? Are you talking about Ukraine or Crimea?
Yes.
No,
well,
Crimea,
Crimea was part of Ukraine, you know. You didn't
well,
know that?
But by force, Ron.
No, I understand.
Handed them over. The people didn't have a say. Now, Washington, D.C., you have your rights. We have our rights, freedom. You have the right to choose, blah, blah, blah. Well, the Crimean people have seen an opportunity with the Ukraine is collapsing, and they're speaking their voice. Who the hell do you see in London? Where did they get off?
Well, you know, Mike, they have – look, I'm telling you, the United States – has a vested interest in the Crimea and in Ukraine in particular. There are a lot of heavy hitters that represent a lot of big money that have economic interest in the Ukraine and in Crimea. And, you know, the fact that it's in close proximity to Turkey and the golden triangle of you know, opium, drug trafficking trade, that probably doesn't have anything to do with it, I'm sure. You know, I mean, I know our troops are guarding the poppy fields over there, but that's just to look out for the economic interest of
guarding
the Afghanistan farmers over there.
They're running the drugs.
Now, you know, I mean, come on, Mike. You don't believe that your government would be involved in drug running, do you?
I certainly do. They're using our Apache helicopters to run the drugs. We've become the drug dealers.
Wow.
Absolutely.
You know, this
absolutely.
Is like the 1980s all over again, isn't it?
Well,
only a different continent. We're not down in South America running cocaine. We're running heroin.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You just brought up South America, sir. No
oh, Venezuela.
Well, I want to get into that because I have
Colombia.
A friend
yes.
down there right now. And I just can't convince her to get on my show. She won't speak because she has a heavy accent. She's shy. She's embarrassed. I told her we just add to the authenticity, but she has sent me several eyewitness pictures, which I've uploaded to my brand new fan page on Facebook, Higher Truth Radio, and I've got pictures up on there. And no one's talking about that, how people are being murdered in the streets, you know, daily. Instead, now you talk about torture. At my job, I am stuck watching CNN, the crappy news network, for 12 hours a day.
That's the Clinton news network, or the common news network.
Well, I call it the crappy news network. And all they're talking about is that damn freaking missing plane, which I said on day two, on day two, that plane was hijacked. And I'll tell you right now, that Italian businessman, who we haven't heard about since, that one little blurb that his passport allegedly was lost or stolen 8-9 months ago, whatever, that dude is implicated. I'm telling you, he's part of it. And I bet you he sold it. But, Ron, about this damn plane, when we've got Venezuela and Russia, those two should be the stories of the day.
I agree. I think so. And, you know, we have been – didn't we hear not long ago that the Russians had some military naval ships in Venezuela?
I wouldn't know that because it's not being covered. And I'm shocked. I've listened to Alex Jones the last 2 days, and I haven't heard him talk about it.
I told you he was acting hokey the other day. And you know, just to me, something's not right. And that brings me to another point, which is kind of off topic, but I have to touch on it. Am I the only one that's noticed that when really big events occur, it seems to me that all the big name, you know, radio guys are on vacation.
Huh.
You got somebody filling in for Glenn Beck. You got somebody filling in for Alex Jones. You got somebody filling in for Mike Church. You got somebody filling in for Sean Hannity. I'm like, really? How does this happen? Andrew Wilkow on the Patriot Network on Sirius. All these big conservative guys that get out there and bash it every day, mysteriously they've got fill-in people for them whenever these big events seem to unfold. And it just kind of boggles my mind. Maybe I'm just being conspiratorial and need to get my tinfoil hat situated properly. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I've listened to Alex the last few days. I'm not really seeing any of that. And he did a great piece, and I'm going to be playing it next week. He did a great interview about Sandy Hook. And, man, I'm gonna play that interview. It's going to be like 20 minutes, and I'm playing that interview. It was unbelievable, but I don't want to get into that. I want to stay on this. But I am shocked, though, that he has not talked about Venezuela. Ron, the pictures are eyewitness pictures that I have on my fan page. She was on the streets of Caracas, and they're pretty tough. And I didn't even post all of them. I got more to do tonight. And it's just being ignored. Absolutely ignored. They're obsessed with this damn freaking plane. Look, they're dead. They're dead, okay? This is to the families. They're dead. Have your memorials. Start the grieving process. And get on with your lives. That's the end of it. But that's all they're doing, Ron. 24/7.
I know.
I wonder, Mike.
And they're just doing little blurbs on Russia and zero, practically zero, on Venezuela. And Venezuela is part of OPEC. If I'm not mistaken, they're the only non-Arabic country part of OPEC.
That is correct. And do you remember, now you go back to 2000, 2001, 2002, you know, we remember that... you know, Hugo Chavez was the great Satan at the time. And I've covered some of this in my blog post and on my radio program. And I don't remember the exact year. I want to say it was 2003 or 2004. We had tried to assassinate Chavez twice. The U.S., CIA, whatever. Hugo Chavez dumped $23 billion in U.S. dollars, converted them to euros, and told the United States, if you want to continue to purchase Venezuelan oil, you will need to do so with euros. We will no longer take U.S. dollars. I found that very interesting. Now, with your interest in Venezuela, I would suggest to go on YouTube, and there's a video. There was a British documentary film crew in Venezuela when there was a lot of turmoil going on because Chavez had nationalized the oil fields in Venezuela. And basically what it amounted to is you have an upper-class, moneyed group of folks that were in control of, you know, the oil fields and the banking sector. And then you had Chavez, who was elected by popular vote. And, you know, I don't want to get into the politics in Venezuela and whether Chavez was a good guy or a bad guy. You know, I think they're all scumbags. But the truth of the fact of the matter is that this group, we'll call them the bourgeois, you know, they were going to protest. They were marching in the streets to protest the nationalization of the oil fields. Now, in the meantime, there was a group that had surrounded the presidential palace because they were in support of Chavez, and they knew Chavez, someone had attempted to kill him. The organizers of the march for the bourgeois decide to detour the mob straight down the street into a confrontation with the 10,000-plus people that are outside the presidential palace. Suddenly, you have these two groups, opposing groups, come face-to-face at high noon in the middle of the street, you know? And then shots rang out. Now, these guys happen to be there doing a documentary, and they catch the whole thing on film. And what you see on their film footage, and it's pretty obvious, that you've got basically two groups of people about 20, 30 feet apart in the middle of the street, and not a single person there is toting a firearm, okay? And then all of a sudden, people start dropping. They're getting shot in the head by snipers. And people on both sides are dropping. And, you know, people on both sides are blaming the other side. And they all run, and they turn and look up the street, a side street, where the shots are coming from. So they recognize pretty quickly both sides that it's not the two sides that are shooting each other. It's coming from somewhere else. And they're pointing up the road at the building where they're being sniped from. That night on the TV news being broadcast in Venezuela and elsewhere, it's edited to make it appear that the pro-Chavez side was shooting the anti-Chavez folks. And that's the news story that got broadcast around the world. And if it were not for this one group of filmmakers from Britain, we wouldn't know the truth. Because they filmed the footage on their television, what was being reported. And then they show the live footage that they shot. And the two do not mesh.
Right.
It's pretty obvious what's
that.
Going on.
I remember that. You talked about that.
Well, right. That happened at Sandy Hook, too.
I believe so. You can't believe anything you see on television reported
they
as news.
Anderson Cooper fabricated the whole thing.
Good God.
Yeah, he did. He totally seen it. Totally. And not only that, but during the first Gulf War, when they said they were getting stuff, they reported from the roof of their Atlanta station.
They were in Atlanta.
In Atlanta. These scumbags.
And they had palm trees and sand, and they're like, oh, wait. And the one guy puts on a gas mask, and the other guy puts on
God.
Helmet. and they're playing air raid sirens and background, and they got a fan blowing the palm trees. It's complete theater.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. And if it wasn't for the cabal keeping these people afloat, they shouldn't even be in business. And Turner should be, like history. It's just ridiculous.
That's why I said, I can't watch the news because it's all kabuki.
No, but I'm stuck at work with the Kabuki news at work, and it's right in my seat. It's right in my face. You talk about torture. At least I don't have to hear the sound, but my own. It's right there, and I get and there's garbage. Freaking plane. Look, it was hijacked. Okay. And neither the pilots involved, because if there's any shot for the plane to land safe anywhere, he has to be behind the controls. Or,
well,
he was at gunpoint, he complied, or the amateurs that took the plane took off and crashed the damn thing. It's the end of it. They're all dead. Get over
it. Yeah, and I'm going to put this out there, and I really hadn't intended on talking about the stupid plane, because it's like a who cares thing to me. I mean, it's tragic for the families of all people, but insofar as anything else. But I did hear a theory that was proposed, and I said from the get-go, I want to know who's on the plane, because it matters. And from what I've heard, there were some Boeing engineers on the plane, and allegedly some owners of a partnership, a corporation that has developed technology that can make
a cloaking
jumbo
device.
Jet-sized aircraft invisible. And we're talking like a super stealth technology. The other partner is Blackwater.
Oh, how special.
Wow.
So if the folks on the plane, if who they claim was on the plane was on the plane, and if they're dead and gone, that means that Blackwater is the sole owner of that technology now. Now, I don't know if there's any truth to that or not. And Cal, this is Ron, but yes, cloaking technology, exactly. But I wouldn't, it's not outside the realm of possibilities. And, what the person that I talked to said is that basically they flew with the plane until it was in an area that they knew they could turn off the transponder and they would be invisible. It was an overlap in the, from Vietnam to Malaysia. They then descended the plane below radar and flew until there was another scheduled flight coming that they could come up under and mirror that flight and not be seen on radar.
Wow.
Okay, so what are we saying the possible end game is? They landed somewhere, shot all the passengers?
Kill them all and, get rid of the plane. I mean, I don't know.
Just like 9/11 with the plane that supposedly crashed in Pennsylvania. Oh, but there's no debris or wreckage. Sure, that happened. Sure.
Well, it disappeared into the ground.
Right. Every day. Right. We find T-Rexes and crap, and then we found his younger cousin, a brother, whatever it is recently. They found T-Rex Jr. But we can't... your airliner full of people crashing in the field in Pennsylvania. Right. Sure. That's a story I'm going to buy tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, what Cal is saying, they're picking up the pings from the engine going in a different direction. And you think about it. If you've got an experienced pilot and experienced engineers on board, that they know the flight patterns, they know the traffic, they know the altitudes, they hear in the call signs. It's pretty easy. All these flight plans are basically public knowledge for anyone that's in the game. It wouldn't be that difficult, I don't think, to map it out and jump in with another flight, just, you know, and just fly a few thousand feet below it. And on the radar, it's just going to look like one plane.
And I find it interesting that Pakistan is saying, oh, we didn't see anything. And India is temporarily calling off their help in the search. I just find it interesting how Pakistan always comes up in the mix. Oh, bin Laden is allegedly killed there, and, you know, and he...
Hey, maybe all of the
mind trusts of 9/11
maybe
went from Saudi Arabia to Pakistan. I just find it interesting how that name, Pakistan, always, and Saudi Arabia, how they always seem to come up in the mix somewhere, somehow, some way. I find it interesting.
You know, maybe they needed that plane to fly 35 tons of gold out of the Ukraine. I don't know.
Well, why not? And, of course, that area of the world to pull this off is beautiful because you have nothing but chaos over there. So it's a beautiful place to do it.
You know, I had gotten an app. One of the guys on the gun forum that I'm on posted a link to an app for your cell phone, and I clicked on it from my computer, and it shows, and it's pretty wild. I mean, when you look at it, you're just like dumbfounded. It shows all of the aircraft in the air worldwide at any given moment. It's amazing.
Wow.
If you run across it, you should look at it, because I mean, there were 10,536 odd planes in the air at one time, and the U.S. just looked like a seething mound of maggots or something. There were so many aircraft over the U.S. You could make out the whole of the United States, the whole outline, just by all the aircraft that were in the air. It's amazing. It's pretty wild to look at. But you know, the amount of I don't think the American people really appreciate the amount of commercial traffic that occurs in this country on a daily basis. I know I certainly don't all the time, you know, because it's in the back of our mind. We see the tractor trailers on the highway, but we don't pay attention to all the freight trains that are moving, the river traffic and the Great Lakes traffic, the barge traffic on all the rivers, and then all the commercial and, you know, airline traffic. It is amazing. The sheer volume of goods that move across this country in a single day. And, you know, anything that threatens that infrastructure is also, it really could have very dire consequences for the United States and people all across the country. And we see when we have a bad weather occurrence that the store shelves are stripped in a matter of hours. And, you know, it's can be pandemonium.
Think about this, Ron. The what if at the right height several EMP devices were launched? What would happen to those 10,000 planes?
They drop.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
About that. Well, you want to talk about carnage and 200 to 300 people a plane? Look at that. Look at that.
And what about the ones, all of us underneath them?
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, you look back, remember the cruise ship that got stranded out in the middle of the ocean there off the coast of California?
Yes.
Remember that? And remember there was a thing that somebody said, oh, it was a missile. Somebody shot at it from a sub, and they were, you know, go back and listen. If I could pull it up in the archives, I can't remember the exact day. But I speculated back then that may have been the Chinese giving us a little demonstration of exactly what they're capable of.
Sure.
And there's a lot of folks that believe that was an EMP that crippled that ship.
Wow. It's just too much going on. It's not explainable. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that are, you know, just going on around the world, and it's so difficult to know what to believe. Mm-hmm. We certainly don't know who to believe. We know who not to believe. But,
right.
you know, at that point, the problem becomes, well, gee, even when they do tell you the truth, you can't believe them.
Pretty scary, yeah.
So it's, you know, I think we just need to, on a personal note for myself, you know, trying to take care of my family
mm-hmm.
and keep my head on level and, you know, just look out and be aware of what's going on around you.
Well, this is where, you know, self-sufficiency, self-empowerment comes in.
Sure does.
And that's what we're going to have to do because this isn't working. This just isn't working. And it's, you know, voting a way out and all that other good stuff. I will say, speaking of vote, you know, we did have the CPAC results.
Right.
I'll tell you, if people want to start taking to the streets for a cause, well, I'm kind of smelling a second chance here. See, the American people blew it in 2012, and I'm talking about those staunch Republicans that didn't get in the face of their so-called representatives, got desperate, and ran to Mitt Romney. You may have another shot in 2016. And you know I'm talking Rand Paul. So if there's a reason to take the streets, you might have a second chance at redemption. And instead of that fat blowhard, Chris Christie, who's so fat he's got to say his last name twice, Chris Christie, Rand Paul's the man.
Well,
if
you know,
anyone's the man. If anyone's the man.
There's another thing that I've been seeing, Mike, and you know, I agree that I think Rand Paul is a pretty good candidate, personally. But I think also I'm hearing a lot on alternative radio, and by that I mean like on the Sirius satellite radio and not the mainstream stuff, that there's several hosts who are trying to tie Rand Paul to Ron Paul, and they're really trying to make a big push under the guise of national security, i.e. the Ukraine and Crimea, and this is a perfect example of why we can't have an isolationist foreign policy, and so on and so forth. You know, Mark Levin would be another one. So it seems to me that they're gearing up already to argue against, and
mm-hmm.
even Ted Cruz, we hear, trying to distance himself from Rand Paul's foreign policy. I don't think I've heard Rand Paul really make a statement as far as foreign policy is concerned with the situation in the Crimea and the Ukraine, but maybe he has and I just didn't see it. But I haven't heard him speak of any kind of a isolationist foreign policy. Have you?
No, he hasn't, and neither did Ron Paul.
But
Ron
it's
Paul,
certainly being played up that way
well,
yet again.
Well, we know why. Well, because
well,
we
sure.
know why who's owned. But again, we the people can make a choice. We could either take the time to be self-educated and really learn what the real founding fathers said and all the things that Ron Paul really said. Because it's out there on YouTube, folks.
Yep.
And
well, now,
what Rand Paul is, and we don't have to listen to that garbage.
And,
so
and
if
I'm,
there's a
I'm
reason
here to tell
to
you.
Take the streets, you take the streets for Rand Paul because, folks, you know, 2016 may be irrelevant anyway, and Doc in the chat room is right that, and I've said it too, if Hillary does not have another aneurysm, she will be, no, I'm serious, she will be the next president of the United
yeah.
States.
Well, I think Rand Paul has
– Well, he's got a shot, but the people have to become self-empowered and make it happen. Stop listening to these fake, phony pimps, race
right.
pimps,
well,
political
and
pimps.
Right.
Get out of it. Get out of the system.
I was going to make the notation that when you hear these supposed conservative constitutionalists resorting to a liberal progressive argument that, you know, we can't follow what the founders were talking about. You know, that was a different time in history, and the things are changed. The geopolitical atmosphere is so much more different than it was back then that we can't possibly follow that kind of ideology. When you hear them making that liberal progressive argument for our foreign policy, you know that you're being sold a bill of goods.
Well, I think also Mikey's right to take to the streets because you know they're going to shove Krispy Kreme down our throats and Jeb Bush as well. And I
Bush
swear,
is
my
the
head,
one that I think they're going to push on you.
And my head will just shoot blood out of every cranial orifice on the planet. I can't take this. That's what we need, another damn Bush. Another globalist, common core, whatever the hell else he is, lefty. Because he is no conservative.
Oh, he's
no,
a...
And you go back, you go back, and I talked about this before, and I wish to God, I know I've got it saved in one of my files, but honestly, I have so many things saved, I couldn't possibly find it again. But it was back during 2005 when they were pushing the North American Union, the NASCO corridor junk, and what was stated then was that Atlanta would be the new capital, and that Jeb Bush would be the president.
Oh, God.
Say this again, Ron.
When they were pushing the NASCO corridor and the SPP.gov, the powers that be said that the North American Union would have its capital in Atlanta, and that Jeb Bush would be the president.
God help us.
Wow.
So
wow.
I'm not surprised to hear his name. And you notice that they're not downplaying Jeb, but they talk about it and then, you know, they move on to other things. So
they're
leaving him out on the periphery for right now.
Yeah.
Let the fray
seeds.
Develop.
I know.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But,
planting
yes,
seeds. Let
I
the fray develop,
say,
and then he's going to come in.
Yeah, I have to say, though, I think, again, Doctor's right again. People are not going to vote for another Bush. That they're done. I mean, the Bush dynasty, as far as the White House, they're done. I mean, these are evil scumbags. I mean, they're pulling the real strings behind the scenes. We know that. But their days of the White House, it's done.
That will
give Hillary a landslide, unless they rig the whole thing.
Well, but Mike, again, you know, you look at, come on, let's look at 95-98% of the population are freaking zombies. All it's going to take is a little bit of crisis, a little bit of something, you know, just right, and then for Jeb to come on the scene and start talking authoritatively, sounding like a leader, maybe shades of Reagan. You know, all you need in this country is the right script. And if you've got the right script, my God, they'll be clamoring at your feet, regardless of what your last name is.
I think
Obama proved that, for God's sakes.
Oh, my God.
You know, the first go around, I thought there is no way in H-E double hockey sticks at the height of our, quote, war on terror, that we're going to elect a guy named Barack Hussein Obama. And I think that just further exemplifies the fact that all you need is a good script and a lot of money.
Well, see, I
disagree.
Yeah. I think if Barack was a few shades lighter, if he took after his mother more, he would have been sold. This was a black and white election, folks.
It was, yeah, it was for the race card. It was pitched
that way.
But this
mean,
is two
from the get-go.
This is two white people. This is two white people, and I'm telling you, and mark it down. Hillary Clinton is the next president of the United States, and the only one that could possibly take her is Rand Paul, and that's if the people get off their fat, lazy, uneducated,
very
I love
yours.
Kim Kardashian ass, and say F you establishment, demand Rand Paul run in any way, shape, or form that he has to. I mean, this is it. You're getting a possible redemption. You're getting a possible do-over. America, don't F it up. That's all I got to say on it.
And, you know, as far as Hillary goes, I still think that, you know, somebody like a John Hinckley could probably take her, too.
I'm not going there.
Yeah, let's be careful.
I'm not going there, sir, because I don't want the NSA at my door.
They can come see me anytime they want.
Well, brother, I've
got my backpack and my pressure cooker, brother. I'm not worried.
Oh, God, pressure cooker. Wait a second. Look, I want to say right now, pressure cookers should be banned. Cars should be banned because that guy in Texas, you know, he killed 2 people and he wounded 23. And guns should be banned because Sandy Hook was real. And it's all about protecting the children.
Yeah, right.
That's the coffee mugs should be banned because these ceramic things, I mean, these are weapons. These are assault weapons. Very dangerous.
Unbelievable.
And I think we should eat with our hands. Oh, but wait a minute.
There you go.
My hand is an assault weapon, too. I know, banned hands. Yes. I'm for banned
hands.
You're
going to have to cut them all off, you know?
Yes, it must be done. And we should line up at Planned Parenthood and have our hands chopped off. We don't need them.
and be sterilized.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Just we're overpopulated. We're grossly overpopulated. Yes.
Yeah, I have a new name for Hildebeest. And I call her Lady Macbeth, and she's the one, because of Benghazi, that should be screaming, out damn spot, because her hands are bloody on that deal. So there'll be plenty of anti-campaigning against her in my neck of the woods, trust me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a few minutes left here.
Oh, so may I say something?
Absolutely. I was going to say, any parting thoughts from my callers?
Yes. Now, as you know, I'm doing a show tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. After that, and then when I flip back to weekends at my slave job, but going forward after that, starting the 27th, it's going to be locked in. Well, except April 2nd, because April 3rd is my birthday, and I'm going out to celebrate my sweetheart. But at any rate, going forward, it's going to be Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Higher Truth Radio. And I know, Ron, you do blogs and stuff, and Linda, this goes for you too, and anyone else that wants to. My girlfriend actually created a fan page on Facebook called Higher Truth Radio, and I would appreciate any thoughts you want to throw on. Feel free to contribute. And I know you have patriotfamilies.com, and I respect that. Bill brought that up earlier. But, folks, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I am going to do it, or I'm going to die trying. Higher Truth Radio, I am making this global. And I want to take as many of you with me if you want to come for the ride. Because I'm saying I'm going to make it happen, or I'm going to die trying.
Cool.
So, want to come with me, let's make it happen together.
Sounds good. Just keep me in the loop on these times and the dates and everything and when you're switching over to Thursday so I can help promote.
Well, I'm switching over the 27th.
Okay.
And then
what time? What time of the night?
9 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
And it's going to stay locked, except there's only going to be one exception.
Okay.
I'm going to do a Wednesday show April 2nd because April 3rd.
Okay.
It's my birthday, and we're going out, and Cheryl's staying over, and we're going to have fun, and it's going to be beautiful. I'm not doing a show that Thursday night, so.
Okay.
But
all right,
from April 10th
cool.
on, it's Thursdays, and it doesn't interfere with Patriot Families because, you know, Terry's wrapped up. So.
Right, yeah.
So I'm not butting heads with you and Bill and Ron. I'm not butting heads, so. You know.
Awesome. And I just thank you, Mikey, for telling us all that stuff, and Ron for having us on. And I couldn't get into the thing today; it was a mess.
BTR is a horror show, Linda. I had to Skype in because I'm getting cut off after 15 seconds. I don't know what's going on.
It's horrible. Yeah. All right. Love you guys. I'll check y'all and Patriot Families and Higher Truth page and catch
and
you guys
another thing. And that's another thing. I see myself with my own network.
Yay.
Not being part of Block Talk Radio. So that's why. Like I said, I'm going to do
I agree.
Or I'm going to die trying.
And let's tune in for Bill and Mikey.
Global.
Absolutely.
Let's do Burton Holler and Mikey Show. Awesome. See you guys in the chat room. Thanks, guys. God bless.
Thank you very much for letting me do my spiel here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Mikey. Anytime. We want to thank our guests, Mike from Higher Truth Radio and Miss Linda Sills, who does Wednesday nights right here at 7 p.m. right from the left coast. Let's not forget Bill and the guys tomorrow night here at 7 p.m. for the Hoot and Holler Show. Thursday night at 6 p.m. will be Miss Terry Rowland. And then as you heard right here, Mike and the Higher Truth Radio Thursday at 9 p.m. So make sure to support these guys. Support us over at Patriot Families. And, you know, God bless you guys. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Doc, Echo, FT, our guest, Linda, Yola, Mikey, Bill Strong, everybody, thanks for tuning in. And I'm going to leave you with, some words of wisdom perhaps from a time gone by.
Mr. Speaker, our government intervention in the economy, the private affairs of citizens, and the internal affairs of foreign countries leads to uncertainty and many unintended consequences. Here are some of the consequences about which we should be concerned. I predict U.S. taxpayers will pay to rebuild Palestine, both the West Bank and the Gaza, as well as Afghanistan. U.S. taxpayers paid to bomb these areas, so we will be expected to rebuild them. Peace of sorts will come to the Middle East, but will be short-lived. There will be big promises of more U.S. money and weapons flowing to Israel and to Arab countries allied with the United States. U.S. troops and others will be used to monitor the peace. In time, an oil boycott will be imposed, with oil prices soaring to historic highs. Current Israeli-United States policies will solidify Arab Muslim nations in their effort to avenge the humiliation of the Palestinians. This will include those Muslim nations that in the past have fought against each other. Some of our moderate Arab allies will be overthrown by Islamic fundamentalists. The UN will continue to condemn through resolutions Israeli-U.S. policies in the Middle East, and they will be ignored. Some European countries will clandestinely support the Muslim countries and their anti-Israel pursuits. China, ironically assisted by American aid, much more openly will sell the militant Muslims the weapons they want and will align herself with the Arab nations. The United States, with Tony Blair as head cheerleader, will attack Iraq without proper authority, and a major war, the largest since World War II, will result. Major moves will be made by China, India, Russia, and Pakistan in Central Asia to take advantage of the chaos for the purpose of grabbing land, resources, and strategic advantages sought after for years. The Karzai government will fail, and U.S. military presence will end in Afghanistan. An international dollar crisis will dramatically boost interest rates in the United States. Price inflation with a major economic downturn will decimate U.S. federal government finances and exploding deficits and uncontrolled spending. Federal Reserve policy will continue at an expanding rate with massive credit expansion, which will make the dollar crisis worse. Gold will be seen as an alternative to paper money as it returns to its historic role as money. Erosion of civil liberties here at home will continue as our government responds to political fear in dealing with the terrorist threat by making generous use of the powers obtained with the Patriot Act. Many American military personnel and civilians will be killed in the coming conflict. The leaders of whichever side loses the war will be hauled into and tried before the International Criminal Court for war crimes. The United States will lose the war, but neither will we win. Our military and political leaders will not be tried by the International Criminal Court. The Congress and the President will shift radically toward expanding the size and scope of the federal government. This will satisfy both the liberals and the conservatives. Military and police powers will grow, satisfying the conservatives. The welfare state, both domestic and international, will expand, satisfying the liberals. Both sides will endorse military adventurism overseas. This is the most important of my predictions. Policy changes could prevent all of the previous predictions from occurring. Unfortunately, that will not occur. In due course, the Constitution will continue to be steadily undermined and the American Republic further weakened. During the next decade, the American people will become poorer and less free, while they become more dependent on the government for economic security. The war will prove to be divisive, with emotions and hatred growing between the various factions and special interests that drive our policies in the Middle East. Agitation from more class warfare will succeed in dividing us domestically. And believe it or not, I expect lobbyists will thrive more than ever during the dangerous period of chaos. I have no timetable for these predictions, but just in case, keep them around and look at them in 5 to 10 years. Let's hope and pray that I'm wrong on all accounts. If so, I will be very pleased.
The gentleman has expired.